It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving. At your desk. Maybe at the gym. But you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach. And see a rocket launch. Or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
Hi, Paul Dennett here. Just letting you know that Cricket Unfiltered is now on Patreon. If you are a fan of our show and would like to support us with a few dollars each month, go to patreon.com/cricketunfiltered or click the link in the show notes on your podcast app.
Menas here. Our Patreon supporters will also get some pretty cool bonus content. Paul will be doing a series of cricket history podcasts.
And Menas will be doing long-form interviews with leading cricket personalities.
All of these shows, plus other bonus features, will be available exclusively to our Patreon supporters.
The first bonus episodes are available now. So if you want some great extra content, or if you just love the show and would like to help support us financially, please go to patreon.com/cricketunfiltered. Now, on with today's show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Cricket Unfiltered podcast. I'm your co-host, Menas. Joining me after a couple of weeks' absence is Paul Dennett. Paul, how are you?
Great, Menas. It's great to be back in studio.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've been in studio, and returning after a long absence, Jaleesa, with, you know, Russian hackers and, you know, changing jobs. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Did you, are you still scared to associate with me?
Yeah, I've actually, I'm sort of doing this recording in secret. There's no video. I've tried to lock the front door, so I am a little bit nervous. But since our last show, you've moved from Channel 9 to Channel 10. How's it going?
Well, it was a pretty wild exit because I left Channel 9, as you mentioned, in the middle of all the hacking. I had an hour's notice to go to Melbourne, and then I spent a week and a little bit at Melbourne. So I never actually – the last time I walked out of the Channel 9 office, I never knew I was not going to ever go back there. So that was a little sad because I didn't get to say goodbye to everyone in person, and I did work with some really great people, but I still sort of see them anyway. And Channel 10 has been great, very welcoming, very friendly team. So it's been really, really nice. And a lot of time for sport too.
Yeah, how have you gone sort of pushing the agenda for more domestic cricket and Shield coverage?
That's the next thing on my list right after rugby league season finishes. I'm sorry, Menas, but we're being consumed by rugby league at the moment.
It's a little sad.
Channel 10 has two sports breaks, so it is actually quite a lot to fill. So, you know, maybe.
So are you working harder now at Channel 10?
I unfortunately am.
Wow.
I know. No, I am. I'm probably working about the same, I would say, at the moment, but definitely there's room to be working harder. So I'm no doubt once I stop settling in, they'll work me.
Yeah, and are you my date for Friday night at the Cricket New South Wales? What? I thought you were my date for the Cricket New South Wales Awards dinner.
I was planning on not pretending I didn't know you. Are you going?
That's what you tried to do when we met.
Yeah.
You know, tried to ignore me, but...
most likely will be going to that. So I'll guess I'll see you there.
God, I feel like I've been at high school again and rejected again.
Well, at least you got asked, Julie. So I'm not even I'm available, Menas.
as a date?
Yeah.
Pass. So in this episode of Cricket Unfiltered, we're going to wrap up all the cricket news, the domestic cricket finals, the IPL. Some significant news with a really well-known player being banned. And then after the break, we've got viewer mail, and we're going to dive into this topic. We saved a couple of these for you, Jaleesa, but I really want to get your opinion on some of these new terms that are going to be used with the 100. It's been very divisive on social media. Yeah. And then Paul and I are going to bring it home with Can't Let It Go, and maybe Jaleesa will have one for
us. I've got four, actually. Wow. I've got four, but I'm going to save one till next week.
Okay. Well, let's get straight into it.
I've been storing them away.
Wow. Maybe you're not working that hard. well, let's get into the cricket headlines brought to you by Piccolo Podcast. And we'll sort of go chronologically. So the weekend before last, New South Wales won the Marsh Cup, the domestic 50-over tournament. New South Wales won their 12th one-day title, and it was a stunning match for the now 21-year-old Jack Edwards, the young New South Wales player who made 108 off 122 balls in New South Wales' total of 251 for 8. I received a message from both of you at some stage lamenting Dan Hughes's laborious 58 off 102
match
balls.
Match winning.
But I got to say, that was a vital innings. Yeah, those two played really well, batted really well together. They came together when the score was 3 for 50, a young New South Wales batting lineup against Western Australia. They put on 118. That got New South Wales to 251 for 8, and then Western Australia were rock and rolled for 149. Abbott took 4 wickets, Lyon 3, and Stark 2. It was a good weekend for Sean Abbott. He took 4 wickets on the Sunday and the day before he proposed to his girlfriend.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, and some weird footage of like him proposing in a drone flying around.
Oh.
So it's kind of like he's really orchestrated this one, Sean. Wow. Really, he's either like got some remote control drone and some like one of his mates is doing it.
And what did she say?
She said yes.
Oh, that's good.
I don't think we would have seen the footage if she'd said no. But, yeah, terrific win for New South Wales. That adds to the Sydney Thunder WBBL title, the Sixers BBL title. So very successful year for New South Wales cricket. I was really impressed with Jack Edwards' 100 in the final. It's his second list A ton. It's only his third game of the season, and he becomes the youngest player to make a ton in the men's domestic final. So from there, the domestic final scene went up to Allan Border Field for the Sheffield Shield final, Queensland hosting New South Wales. And New South Wales were beaten by an innings and 32 runs. It was Queensland's ninth title since 1994. And it was the first time ever Queensland had beaten New South Wales in a Shield final. Marnus Labuschagne was player of the match for his 192. No other player made 50 in the game. So that was a stunning performance by Marnus. And it seems like New South Wales lost it on the first day when they were bowled out for 143.
Yeah, you couldn't complain with them winning the toss and batting, but I suppose if you could form a split screen and see what would have happened had they been able to bowl first, then you know maybe things would have been different. But that probably sounds like a bitter New South Wales supporter speaking.
Obviously, just we're also missing some of that batting depth in Warner and Smith and Moses Henriques, and
absolutely,
it did expose perhaps how they're a little bit fragile without.
Oh, definitely, and Peter Neville was still waiting for this baby to be born. He's missed like 2 weeks of cricket.
Oh, that is rude.
No,
Come on, baby.
He was a big exclusion.
Hurry up.
Because of exactly. Come on, Mrs. Neville. But so he missed out. It really left Curtis Patterson and Daniel Hughes as the only players with real experience, and they just weren't able to prop up that order. Nisa took 5 for 27. And you speak about the toss, Paul. So after the match, Usman Khawaja was asked about it and said he's really glad he didn't want to win the toss because he wanted to bowl, but he said it's a really big call.
Huge
bowling
call.
First in a Shield final, because if the team bats first and makes 400, you never live it down.
That's the thing. You win the toss and bat first and get thrashed, no one talks about the toss. You win the toss, bowl first and get thrashed. And, you know, people still to this day talk about Nasser Hussain's famous toss at the Gabba and Ricky Ponting's toss at Edgbaston in 2005. Yeah, he's got a good point.
And I sort of see where Curtis Patterson's coming from because, you know, he has an attack of Lyon, Hazelwood, Stark, and Abbott, I mean, that's the, and Copeland, and he thinks, well, look, if we can just get, you know, scrape 250, 300 together, we can probably put a lot of pressure on them with our bowlers, and rather than the other way, put the pressure on the young batters trying to, you know, run down a Queensland total. So I sort of get where Patterson was coming from, but interestingly, Ian Healy, speaking on SEN, had dinner with Mitch Stark after the game. Obviously, Mitch Stark's married to Ian Healy's niece, and Stark said, they all said
you
afterwards.
You might know her from such things, such as the World Cup.
Final. But then, yeah. What are you
making? That was very delightful.
I was just enjoying it.
You're basking it. One more coffee for you.
Just racking up the coffees. But yeah, Stark said at that, apparently at that dinner, that they should, you know, had they had their time again, they would have bowled first.
Yeah. But again, it's one of those ones that it's easy in hindsight to criticise. And the other thing is, with the possibility, although it was unlikely to be a draw, of the final being decided on bonus points, I'd always prefer to bat second, knowing that I could then at least know what exactly my target was as far as bonus points are concerned.
Mm. So Queensland made 389 in reply to 143, minus 192 phenomenal innings. New South Wales all out for 213.
Lovely, lovely final. I watched a fair bit of it on TV. Commentary was good. Darren Lehman has impressed me.
It was okay. I mean, they were missing you, me, and the real chill commentators.
They were missing you, me, and Alan McGilvray and Richie Beno. But the rest of it, you know, it was pretty good. The Darren Lehman, I think when he's actually sort of the lead commentator and he drives the agenda, he's actually pretty good. Maybe when he responds to others, I haven't been so enthralled with him in the past, but it just looked like a lovely atmosphere with a couple of thousand people in. It's kind of old-fashioned cricket, and I thoroughly enjoyed watching it.
Next week, we're going to do a bit of a season review, and that will include a little bit of a deep dive into the Shield stats, see if we can unlock any things that might point to what's going to happen next season. Paul's favourite thing, looking at past performances to indicate future performances. Isn't that right, Paul?
Well, what else can you
That's
use?
That's a superannuation. I know.
Yeah, it is. They're not a guarantee. So are we talking about the am I going to say my rant for the bonus points till next week?
No, go for it.
Go on.
Oh, look, I think that there's been a problem in the past that the Shield final has been won by the home side in the event of a draw, and so the home side's been incentivised to produce a flat pitch, and then if they win the toss and bat, just bat and bat and bat. So by having it on bonus points, it's an improvement on that. But I just think that no one watching it knows what the bonus points are. I mean, the maths isn't that hard, but it's not fun to be sitting there doing the
maths. Still
maths. Exactly. Plus, it's not even Duckworth Lewis, which is very complex maths. They can have it on the board at least. If the game was to brain off right now, this is what the side would need to be up to. They never have anything like that for the bonus points. Secondly, it could pretty much result in the side winning on a bit like when England won with the World Cup final on account of boundaries. And it might not ring true as like, oh, the end of a pulsating fixture, you've got to go back and what was the score after 100 overs and one side's won it by a few runs. It just doesn't seem like it's really the thing. And the other thing is, once New South Wales got bowled out, Queensland were then incentivised to play for a draw because they could no longer, if it was a draw, they would then win the Shield on bonus points. So for all but the first two sessions of the game, the same problem theoretically existed. I was kind of hoping that Khawaja would bat and bat and bat and make, you know, 900 to make the point, because he was one of the few that spoke out against it. So I just wish that what they do is go back to the home team, wins in the case of a draw, but Cricket Australia takes over the pitch preparation and says, we are going to make a nice, fast pitch, cut all the bonus points and all the silly maths out. And if you earn a draw on that nice, fast pitch and you are the minor premiers, then you deserve the Shield.
That's a great solution.
What about like limiting the number of overs in the first innings that no team can, say, bat past 150 overs?
Yeah, I think that would be okay as well. And then you maybe have it on first.
It's not entertaining though, like a more entertaining pitch is...
Well, you get a better game if the pitch was...
Yeah, I think this pitch was quite good, actually. Yeah. So they'll point to that and say, well, and I agree, it's a lot better than if Queensland prepared a flat wicket and batted for 3 days, but I still think that with those problems I mentioned above, neutral pitch preparation would make it even better. One other little rant while I'm at it.
I'll go for it.
Why, oh, why did they bring this thing in that they're checking no balls in the final? So throughout the whole Shield, I've never seen in the Shield before that they check front foot, no balls, presumably because of the very welcome, excellent camera work in the final. They had the facilities to do it. But unlike in the international game where they're now getting the third umpire to check after each ball, they're only checking in the event of a wicket. So they've stupidly, unnecessarily introduced the same issue that plagued international cricket for 10 years, that bowlers are bowling no balls by a millimetre, they're not being called, and then all of a sudden only when there's a wicket are they being called. It's like a designed to punish the fans. It's like, oh God, you know, how frustrating. You've been looking for a wicket, you get one, and now it's going to be taken back off you. People on Mars aren't watching. We can do what we want on this planet. We don't have to check no balls in the Sheffield Shield final. There's not going to be some sort of intergalactic thing coming down and saying you had the technology to do it and you didn't. If you're going to do it, at least put in DRS and go full hog. But if you're not going to do that, just no one's going to know. No, it's not going to cause a nuclear war. Just don't check them.
Yeah, hard to argue with that. Why are we checking no balls and not having DRS?
Exactly.
In the final?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I'm not as passionate as you, but I agree with your point.
We agree, Paul.
Oh, my then God, let us
people
go.
People on Mars aren't.
Let us go.
I want to march on Parliament House tomorrow.
And to summarise, Mars does not care.
It'd be funny if they attacked now and that was the reason.
Oh, yeah. I'm under too many cyber attacks. Can we just no more?
All right. And so that's the Sheffield Shield. There's been some big retirements in the Australian – well, big-ish retirements. No offence.
Domestic cricket scenes.
There's been some retirements. Chad Say is retired. 320 first-class wickets at 26.5. Played one test for Australia. A wonderful bowler for South Australia. Alex Doolan, the Tasmanian top-order player, played four tests for Australia. I remember his contribution in the 2014 tour of South Africa. And then Delisa Commins retired after playing 44 T20s and 16 ODIs for Australia. A very good player. One of those female players that started in the sort of pre-professional era and then extended her career during the professional era and a wonderful contributor to Australian cricket. So wish all three of them the best in their retirement. Any Alex Doolan memories you want to?
Oh, look, obviously he's a much better cricketer than I was, but he should really, I don't think he should have played Test cricket. I think that his record of averaging in the 30s was very, very solid, but it was a mistake for him to be picked at Test level. Rather churlish of me to point that out on the occasion of his retirement, though.
Don't worry, Jules ain't listening. And if you are, hello. Wow,
just to really put a
I just wanted to really
knife
make a
through his career.
I think that was a Ricky Ponting pick.
That is savage.
Ricky Ponting really liked the way Doolan batted, and I think he pushed his case to go into the Australian side.
That's the problem when people look at technique and not the only thing that matters, average. Mm.
Yes, potentially, but there is a feeling that techniques get exposed at test level and some techniques are better at test level.
And the best way to check that is first class average.
Okay. All right, we're just not going around in circles on this podcast. Now, the IPL has kicked off. We're about a week and a half in. Jaleesa, any highlights from the first week of the IPL?
Look, I can honestly say I haven't watched as much of the IPL as I normally would, just given how my life being in a bit of chaos at the moment.
Yeah.
So really,
they don't cover it on 10 News.
Well,
it's not the leading story.
We do actually, but I've been rugby leagued. So, yeah, I haven't, like, you know, I've been sort of keeping up with. Like every day I look at the scores and look at who got what and blah, blah, blah. But I haven't sat down and watched a full game.
How's your Swans coverage? It's my Swannies. How's my Swannies
good.
Coverage?
We cover when Buddy's in and Buddy's out and Buddy's in and Buddy's out and yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to go to the Swans week after next. But anything in the IPL jump out at you?
Not particularly, no.
No. All right, Paul?
I've really enjoyed it and it's hard though because I'm watching it at 2 in the morning and I learnt the piano for about 2 months when I was 7 and I had this grumpy old teacher and I was just – either I was too stupid or too scared or both to actually – I never learnt any notes and I sort of playing
– what? What were they teaching you?
Well, that's what – yeah, we don't know. But I was playing by memory.
We don't know.
And she must have got a bit of an inkling of this because after about 2 months she suddenly pointed to a key and said, what's that? And I said, I don't know. She said, that's middle C. That's the first thing you learn. Yeah. I feel the same way with the IPL. Like I watch it and I watch it and I watch it. But if someone said to me – someone say, you know, who does Kohli play for? And I'd be like, I don't know. And they'd say, it's RCB guy. How could you not know that? Like it's, they just swirl around. But it's been – really entertaining. I've enjoyed it. However, I think they should call it off. I just think that India's situation has reached such a catastrophic level that the graph of the number of new infections is now, it's going vertical.
I can see, yeah, I see what you're talking about. You're quite right. India's in a terrible case. But how does that correlate with the IPL being called off, though?
Good question. And I what are you laughing at?
That was a good question.
My coffee's really kicking in.
I
think in the up till now, I'd have said it's a good thing for the country to have that entertainment and that pleasure to see that. I just think at the point now where they are having 270,000 cases in the last day, and it's just going to go up and up. The deaths are going to go up and up. I saw a guy basically live tweet his own death on Twitter the other day, where he was sending photos of his oxygen level, begging someone to send an ambulance. It never came, and he died. That there comes a point when you've got to say,
was that hashtag IPL?
No. But you got to, there comes a point where you've got to say, the country's in a crisis, and in crises things get cancelled.
Yeah, and
it just seems wrong to have a $1 billion industry of all of this going on. You need to let the country know this is not normal times. We have to do things to save our fellow people. That's where I'm kind of coming from.
So, yeah, and I understand what you're saying. And as grim and as awful as the situation is over there, would you call off the IPL tomorrow and suddenly you don't have 270,000 cases a day?
Of course not. But it's kind of...
I don't see how it would help. I don't see, like, I could understand if there was some way that could help, then 100%, but I don't think just because it's, people can, in life, in general, here, I'm going to get philosophical.
It's getting deep. I'm going to get philosophical.
People can enjoy things in really bad times, in general. So you can grieve and still enjoy life, or you can go through a really awful time and really enjoy life. I don't think that when we're going through really horrific things in the world, we have to go, well, then there must be no enjoyment so that we mark this sad occasion. And I don't think calling off the IPL tomorrow would make any difference and would only make people more miserable. India, we know, absolutely lives for cricket. And particularly, I go back to sort of in the COVID When we were under the restrictions last year and NRL and AFL were called off, I didn't understand and I didn't have an appreciation for what sport does for people who are in bad situations. And when I got tweets from a couple of people who said, I am in a wheelchair or I am mobility, I can't, you know, use my body the way that you can, and I'm really sad that there's no sport at the moment. Because that's where I get my enjoyment.
It's an escape for some people.
It's an escape. It really is. And I'd never appreciated that until people reached out to me in that period and said, when do you think it'll come back? And so I don't think that taking away a bit of enjoyment, if it was going to do anything to those cases, 100%, but it won't.
I see what you're coming from. And I suppose part of it is that if they were doing everything to stop corona, maybe then I'd agree, but they're still having political rallies. They are still, they're not in lockdown. I think it would partially send a signal to say we are not in normal times, and as much enjoyment as this is getting, we need to be doing things differently, and we need to be shutting down, and we need to be locking down, and that's when normal things have to be cancelled. And I think it would make some difference as well, in the sense that whatever the effort in terms of keeping the bubble going and all of the logistical things of that going, they could be better directed to other things. But it just seems to me like there's a dystopian nature to it, where they've got these fan sort of virtual corporate boxes where people get to send in videos if they win of themselves doing a 5-second thing, and they loop them in the ground, and people are sort of dancing and singing and everything.
We found this on video. Paul's dancing.
And they go on a loop and there's like 8 in a row.
Yeah.
And they've got one with the guy advertising a mobile phone. He's dancing because he just got a new mobile deal. And it's like something out of 1984. Like the health system is collapsing. The country is collapsing. It just seems, I don't know, incongruous that this tournament, you know, for its billion-dollar TV deals is continuing in the face of all that. It'd be almost like, and I know it's not a direct comparison, but it'd be like if you're at war and you said, no, we're not going to cancel sport during the war. We're still going to have all of the sport going on. That never happens. I think there reaches a point where, notwithstanding what you said, Julissa, and it gives people pleasure, I think when the country's falling to bits, that point has been reached. But I think a lot of people would agree with you.
I think what you're saying is, I agree where you're coming from. I think what you're saying, though, is you're seeing the visibility of the country falling apart. There is always extreme wealth and extreme poor in India and an extreme imbalance. And money spent on cricket, huge amounts of money spent on cricket while people can't feed themselves or their family. And probably you're seeing in Corona, because coronavirus is such a big thing at the moment, you're probably seeing that disparity maybe a little bit more visibly. It's always been there, though.
Yeah, but they're not normally getting
their health system has always been bad.
But they had 1,700 people die yesterday that wouldn't have died if it wasn't for Corona.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. Yeah, but
and that's not yet taking into account the enormous number of cases that won't be seen for about 5 or 6 weeks into the death toll. The death toll is just going to go up and up and up into the 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 a day.
New Delhi's gone into lockdown for a week now.
Yeah,
To try and curb their cases.
As it should. And if there was going to be a massive lockdown, then that's when the IPL should be.
Well, what about, though, the fact that on the IPL then, Paul, they're showing all these messages about, you know, how to keep safe, you know, wear a mask, all the messages. They're always across the bottom of the screen on the IPL. So, you know, if so many people are watching it and they're getting this message, then maybe it's, I don't know, helping in some way.
Yeah, but the message is very light. I mean, I think if they're going to do that seriously, they should have Virat Kohli coming to the camera and saying, you know, this is a bloody grim time. You need to do this, this, and this. It's hard because
I wonder why none of the cricketers have done that.
Maybe they have, and we don't get it.
Maybe you might be right. Yeah,
it just seems a bit glib the way they can just sort of say, "That's a wonderful six, and make sure you're practicing, you know, appropriate hand sanitation," and then on they go. It's like they're ticking a box to allow them to continue doing it.
Yeah.
I think they should go into lockdown and keep playing the IPL.
I think if they went into lockdown, then they'd have to.
Yeah, just keep playing and give something people to watch.
If you were going to go into lockdown, that's when you'd have to get rid of the IPL because then you're not setting a good example and people will not follow it. But I think, yeah, at the moment I just think you're going to make people far more miserable.
Fair enough. All right, now let's get on the field.
Despite all that, my high words, I've been watching lots of it and loving it.
Yeah, it's tough.
The hypocrisy.
And please keep it going because Paul's watching.
How many sixes did they hit?
Who does Kohli play for?
No. Okay, I'm going to go give some
my Royal Challengers Bangalore. How good are they, by the way?
I'm going to give some of my highlights from the first sort of week and a bit of the tournament. I loved Sam Curran smashing his brother Tom Curran all around the ground. Sam made 34 off 15 and most of them came off his brother. Nothing better than watching brothers go at it at the top level. But the other thing I enjoyed was Chris Lynn. So Chris Lynn sat out. Sorry, he didn't sit out last IPL. He went to the UAE to be in the Mumbai Indians squad. Wasn't picked for a game. Still gets paid, you know, plus 400K. So
dream.
Not really sorry for him, but he gets picked in the first Mumbai game of this season and wants to put his case forward to be included in the team. And he runs out his captain, Rohit Sharma. Which Lynn could have made 150 off 50 balls after that, but he ran out Rohit Sharma, so you could tell he was really in hot water. And lo and behold, Quinton de Kock comes back for the next game. Lynn is out the door. I found that amusing in a black humour kind of way. And then finally, I enjoyed the sort of weird thing of Sanju Samson batting for the Rajasthan Royals. He was trying to chase down a total against the Punjab Kings. He made a magnificent century and it came down to the second last ball. And Samson needed 5 off 2. And he hits the ball into the outfield. Chris Morris is at the other end, very good player. And he sends Morris back. Morris runs down almost to Samson and then Samson sends him back. So like, they could have almost ran two. Samson, I don't think, is too good with maths because he left himself 5 off 1, which meant he had to hit a 6, whereas if he'd gone for 1 and then tried to go for 2, They would have, you know, even if they hadn't got the two, they would have only needed four off the last ball. Sampson didn't hit it for six. They lost the game. It was just very, very bizarre tactics by Sampson. And just to prove the point, you know, I think in Rajasthan Royals' next game, Morris hit a six off the last ball to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, Sampson did score 100. So, and look, I don't encourage gambling, and I am winning in my gambling on the IPL. But on this game, I had money at good odds on Sampson's. Who's Sampson play for again? I've forgotten everything.
The Royals, Rajasthan Royals.
I had money on them to win. When he turned that single, that two down, God, that was a very bad moment for me. but the thing was, he hit it to long off. And so what would have happened is most likely Morris would have got run out at the non-striker's end.
To the second.
And he would have been fine. So he would have
been on strike, only needed four to win.
Exactly. And then the worst thing was Simon Dool, who I love. One thing you should never do to someone who's had a little bit of money on things is prematurely get it wrong. So the last ball, Samson's actually cracked it over extra cover. And Simon Dool's gone, and he's hit it, he's won it. Oh, no, he hasn't.
Yeah. Like, oh. What if that was a TV call in studio because that happened a fair bit.
That's the West Tigers against the Rabbits on the weekend. Oh,
edit that out and let's AFL no footy talk. So that's my highlights from the first week. RCB looked to be off to a hot start. Glenn Maxwell, 250s and a quick fire cameo in the middle. He and Coley have a real bromance going on.
It's so good. Finally, Coley's gotten through to him. I always remember a few years ago, Gilchrist putting up Coley and Maxwell's figures, and Maxwell's strike rate was just off the charts, but his average wasn't as good. And Gilchrist making the point, Maxwell needs to sacrifice a little bit of that strike rate and get his average up. And that game, Maxwell got 59 off 41 against Sunrisers Hyderabad. Normally, if he faces 41 balls, he's scoring about 100. It was like Coley said to him, mate, this pitch is not conducive to that. Don't play a reverse sweep and get out for 15 off three. Stick solid. And they won the game. And this is the best thing that could have happened for Australia. So I'm banging the Maxwell drum yet again, and maybe it's going to be ironically the Indian captain who helps it happen.
It's really nice seeing the way that the players are getting so close now. And, you know, we grew up in an era, Paul, where you were conditioned to hate the opposition. I mean, especially the Australian team when we were kids, it was very much an us v them sort of attitude. Whereas now with the IPL and all these tournaments, I mean, Coley, just the way he was looking at Maxwell, his wife better be worried. Next bit of news. So the IPL continues until Paul has it stopped. And now to some not-so-good news. Former Zimbabwe captain Heath Streak has been banned for 8 years after being charged with and also admitting to five breaches of the ICC's anti-corruption code. That includes introducing players to a corruptor, receiving Bitcoin payments. And this makes me very concerned because he's a former national coach who's also coached in the IPL, PSL and the Afghanistani Premier League. Makes me wonder sort of, you know, how much is going on that we don't know about.
There'd be stuff going on for sure.
Oh, of course there is. But this, you know, if they can get to someone like Heath Streak, then it just makes me really think that who else are they getting to? Mm.
It's bizarre as well that how would you not realise that this is going to end in tears? I mean, I thought he was an intelligent person. But he also got Shakib Al-Hassan into it. That's what Al-Hassan got the ban. It was Heath Streak was the one that sort of introduced him into it. The only good news is that I still think that at the top level there's no match fixing, not because the players are saintly, but it's too hard to you'd have to pay so much to the players to make it worth their while that you wouldn't be able to recoup it even on illegal gambling without the betting companies being aware of it. But it's at those lower levels that the sort of the third tier T20 competitions, that's when certainly I'm sure that there's a bit of dodgy stuff that still goes on.
So not good news for Zimbabwe cricket. Now, you had some news about South African cricket.
Yeah.
Just the sad news that
this is really sad.
Their government has stepped in to kind of take over the running of it because they're unsatisfied with the way it's going, which is a violation of ICC protocols, and so it means that the spectre of South Africa being kicked out of world tournaments is now exists. I don't think it'll happen.
It's really sad, and to see it sort of come to this point, Particularly because they had the – so my understanding is they had the opportunity to fix this all the other day when they could have ratified the new government's, you know, the memorandum, and they just chose not to do that and left it in this kind of chaos where it now the South Australian the South African government can now will now be like, well, we've got to step in and ICC, then that's all those implications, and so it's all a bit of chaos.
As usual in South African cricket, it's been a rough few years.
It's sad to see how far it's fallen.
Mm. All right, final cricket headline, and I've held off this one till Jaleesa was back. Paul and I started talking about this on the Sheffield Shield coverage, is that the ICC are now permitting first-class teams to make tactical substitutes. Now, obviously, each competition, whether it's the Shield or county cricket, you know, have to bring in rules. But they're now allowing people to bring in rules where essentially you might say after the each team has batted, okay, we're going to sub out one of our quick bowlers and bring in a spinner because the pitch is starting to turn. I like it. What do you think, Jaleesa?
I don't like it. I didn't. This reminds me of like the X Factor in BBL.
That's what I thought.
And it's like, no, why have we got subs? Like, pick your best team.
You're traditionalist, aren't you, Jaleesa?
Yeah, I really am. And I just, I don't like it. I think it's shit.
What do you think, Paul?
The one thing that I would like to see is injury substitutions brought in. And when we talked about it in the Shield coverage, we sort of came to the realisation that maybe that could form part of that at a broader level. What I don't like is when a fast bowler pulls the hamstring on the first morning of the game and the test match is kind of ruined as a spectacle for the fans. And I would like to see a tennis model adopted of saying, we're aware that you could try to game this system, so we're not going to allow that. But if a scan shows that genuinely someone has ripped a muscle off the bone, we are going to allow a like-for-like substitution in the same way that we allow concussion substitutions. As far as just say from a tactical point of view, I think I'm with Jaleesa. The notion of, you know, in a perfect world, I could see where it'd be okay. Like on the final day, you bring in an extra spinner to take advantage of those conditions and you've raised the standard. But I don't know. I find one of the less appealing parts of baseball when they are, okay, we've got a left-handed batter in. Now we've got to get another pitcher out because the left-handed pitcher is like, oh, we're going to take a break. And it's just all the speculation of that. That's what drives me mental, that the whole we're going to be speculating endlessly. Oh, you know, who are they going to bring in next? So I'm not keen on that part of it.
I also think that's part of like being, you know, being able to pick a good team and being able to have the foresight to think, okay, what are we going to need on, you know, the final day and what do we sacrifice for that? And that takes all the interest out if you don't have that risk of who you're going to pick.
Yeah, I just think maybe you could end up seeing more attractive cricket more often, which is good for the game. You know, you spoke about the last day. Say a team's, you know, set 350 on the last day and they think, all right, we're going to sub one of our bowlers out now, so we've got an extra batter. We can really go for this. And the opposition can sub in a bowler for a batter, so it will even out, but you'll just see sort of a higher standard of cricket.
Oh, I know your point. There's sometimes that you can get a point where it's five overs before the new ball and you've got a part-time medium pacer bowling and you look at it and if you a person who's never seen cricket before would look at that and think, I could play that. That's easy. But, yeah, I'd have to be convinced.
I think it's a fair way to go and seeing how it plays out, but my early feelings about it are good. That's it for the cricket headlines. After the break, we'll be back with viewer mail and also to discuss the new terms for the 100 and then Can't Let It Go. You're listening to the Cricket Unfiltered podcast. I'm Menes. I'm with Jaleesa Apps and Paul Dennett. And it's viewer mail time. And I guess I'm really interested in hearing from the listeners about this one. The 100 have brought in some new terms which set social media alight. So they're calling dismissals outs or wickets outs. And they're calling... Well, they're changing from sort of batters for batsmen to batters. They're making, you know, that the sort of they're making all the terms gender neutral. So it's outs and batters. People were like getting all up in arms about outs. I really like it.
I think the big thing is it's a symbol that I don't really care whether it's wickets or outs. And people have said, well, you know, how many extra people is this going to bring in the gate? I don't think that's the point. It's more the traditionalists have run English cricket forever. And what have they overseen? A gradual decline of the sport from a realistic rival to soccer as the national game, World War One, to now a niche sport where they've done that survey that more English kids a few years ago were aware of the American pro wrestler John Cena than they were of the existence of Alistair Cook, who was then the captain at the time. So that's what you get for people who are the ones who say, no, it must be wickets. I cannot countenance the prospect of it being outs. The world is going, it's not cricket. I won't watch it. Well, no one's going to be watching cricket if you guys are still in charge. Maybe you need a bit of Americanization. Maybe you need a bit of razzmatazz. That's what Australia's done. We brought in, Kerry Packer came in and changed things. You guys didn't go to, the first time Australia went to England and we had more than 3 one-dayers wasn't until 2001. We didn't have coloured clothing in England until 2001. They resist and they resist and they resist, yet they're the ones who actually invent these new variations of the game. So if the focus groups have said that these people who've, kids who've grown up have seen no cricket on free-to-air TV, have no knowledge of it, and if they've said, yeah, I'm a bit turned off by the fact that all these weird terms and silly mid-off and all this and whatever else and wickets, if it's going to be just simple of outs, runs and balls, and that's what the focus groups say, well, go for it. And, you know, I think the 100 will be a success. In the same way that I was sceptical before the Big Bash, a lot of people in England are sceptical about the 100. Ultimately, I think it'll be summer fun, breezy and cool, and it'll bring a new audience to the game, and you'll suddenly realise that you weren't right to be so scared of it in the first place.
I would describe myself as a traditionalist in terms of how the game is played. I don't particularly care what it's called. And I just think, explaining to somebody who has never watched cricket about cricket, there are so many confusing terms.
Yeah, like the wicket is also the thing they play on.
Exactly.
You can call the stumps the wicket.
Exactly.
It's and like it's also a dismissal.
It's like learning English.
I hate all these people that say, oh, you can't change it to outs. I mean,
I think
you can
change,
get out of the sand.
I think you can change. I just frankly don't care what it's called.
I do care.
I like outs. I get a little bit more upset when they change fundamentals of the game. That bothers me, like substitutions, for example, what we're just talking
terminology
about.
Terminology doesn't bother you.
Terminology, I think if you're that worried, then your fragile cricket ego is probably,
keep it in check. I heard this from someone on Twitter as well. They were tweeting about, I hate this new term that Indians use, paces, you know, for pace bowling. I'm like, get over it. Like, there's no, like, dictionary written by the Lords, like what you can say and what you can't say about cricket.
The story that was repeated by the executive that was responsible for the Big Bash was saying there was a grandfather who wrote to him and said, my grandson had no interest in cricket. I love the game. I had no interest in the Big Bash, but somehow it got us together to go there. Mm. And I realised, I don't really like the music. I don't really like this and that, but I can live with it. And actually, it's still cricket. And he loved all the music and he loved all this. And in between, suddenly I'm telling him, you know, my Don Bradman anecdotes. And it was kind of a meeting of the generations. That's what the 100 can be. Forget about the fact that there is a few gimmicks. If it's going to bring in lots and lots of young people who've never been exposed to cricket before, that has to be a good thing. And that will prop up the game that we love, that you can then have your county cricket and have the test cricket continuing.
Now from outs to a more sort of discussion around gender-neutral terminology. So they've used the term, they're going to use the term batters. And Jim Maxwell tweeted, because I tweeted out that I love the term batters, and Jim Maxwell responded, yes, the term batters has become the new generic for some, but has third man survived cricket's genderisation? Will the term ball be replaced with projectile, aspro, spheroid, or some general gender-neutral descriptor? I have spoken to, you know, a female cricket commentators, and they call, well, anybody, they call, instead of third man, they just call it third, instead of third man. I don't know about fine leg, why you, like, legs can be male, female. I don't know why you, like, just fine.
I've always liked the term batters because it's an easier term when you're scripting instead of saying, batsman. Like, batsman. Well, batsman's fine, but batswoman, like, you just sound bat person. It just sounds weird. I just always like batters. I think it's just an easier way to say things. And whenever you're, like, scripting, it's just what's the easiest way to say it? Batters.
What I think just gets forgotten too often is that people aren't doing this for political correctness. They're doing it to be inclusive. So if you're a young female and you're watching a game, not using all these male terms about the game, you're not feeling alienated. You know, you want terms that bring in both male and females, and terms like batters that aren't gendered, open the game up. And, you know, I was never a young girl, but I can imagine growing up watching cricket all the time, if you're just hearing male terminology, you think this is a male game.
Yeah, and to be honest, it never affected me. When I do think of cricket, you always think of a male game, yeah. Like when you – so maybe it subconsciously did, but I didn't sit there and be worried that I was hearing a lot of male terms, but I just think batters is a easier term.
Yeah.
And it is inclusive, so it's easier to – yeah.
I think that it's that's the thing, that it was so relentlessly a male game that in trying to then correct that – maybe changing some of these terms is the right thing to do. Even if in isolation, changing batsmen to batters doesn't make a major difference. It's just part of the overall process. I think I've said before how when I played under 10s, my highest score was 5 in my first season. Next, my sister, 3 years younger, played against the boys in the under 10s. Her highest score was 31, retired with 4 boundaries. And she's obviously much better at cricket than I was. But her presence was tolerated in the under 10s. Everyone knew that once you hit the under 12s, girls were not allowed. And this is not that long ago. This is like late 80s, early 90s.
Long time ago.
It's not the 1880s and 1890s. No. And so the fact that that's existed one generation ago, that you just weren't welcome. And I remember when we were in the under 12s, one team had a girl. And it was the talk of the town. Like, they've got a girl playing for them. Mm. There was no women's league or anything. That was the only way that she could play. So when you compare that to now saying, let's change batsmen to batters, I think it's a good thing. And I'm fine for changing third man to third. And maybe the fine leg thing is not so much that there's anything wrong with the leg. It's more maybe just to bring it in line with, if third man's going to go to third, maybe that's why fine leg goes to fine. I don't know.
Paul, sadly, I don't think much has changed, particularly probably in the city it has, but it, definitely in the country there's no women's cricket. Where I'm from, certainly.
Well, I can say that. And so there was
one female who played in the men's comp, and you're right, she was like, it was like, oh, cool, she plays, like, in with all the men. Like, that was, like, again, the talk of the town. So that was,
But is this now or when you were growing up?
When I, probably, I would say 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think even in the last 10 years, I don't know what the situation is in Boorowa, obviously, but when we're at Wollongong,
there's no women that play anywhere near Boorowa.
When I was in Wollongong for the Shield, I was sitting next to one of the scorers, and she was just saying how they've now got 5 women's teams, and it's exploding every year. And she's really proud of the fact that the game in Wollongong for females is absolutely galloping along. When I walk past at Manly, where sort of in Collaroy area, that there are loads of girls playing cricket. Yeah, maybe it's not uniform across the country.
I think in Wagga too, there's a lot of women's cricket. But no, in the sort of smaller areas, it's not even thought of.
Now, let me thank our newest Patreon subscribers, Luke Reynolds, Robert Fairhead, and Troy Smith.
Oh, I think you missed the S off Reynolds.
Yeah, I was going to say that too.
What did I say, Reynolds?
Yeah.
You said Reynolds, yeah.
Luke Reynolds.
Sorry, Luke.
Robert Fairhead and Troy Smith, thank you very much.
Thanks.
And Robert Fairhead has sent in a question. I had dinner with my niece last night, who told me on the weekend she'd watched her friend play in a Sydney Grey cricket final. She went expecting to be bored, but found it exciting to watch, especially when her friend caught a batsman and then ran out the batsman, claiming two wickets from one delivery.
That's cool.
I've seen double runouts, but never a caught and a run out. We wondered if it's only a Grey cricket rule, or could it happen in Test cricket? I said I'd ask the experts. Okay. Robert, no offence to your niece, but I think she's 1,000% wrong. That did not happen. It just can't happen. It's not a rule. You can't do that.
What? Are you really going to question what she saw?
Yeah, I think she
Were
saw it.
Were you there?
I think she saw it.
What?
I think she saw the catch, and the player turned around and threw the stumps down, and the niece thought two people were out, but it wasn't. It was just the core batsman.
Thank you for explaining what she saw, Menace.
Well, but it just never happens.
That's how do you know that this didn't happen?
Unless they're playing like crazy cricket or something, there's no rules.
Maybe they were playing a revised rules. I don't know. But
in saying that,
just categorically sitting there and going, this did not happen.
To be fair,
I will not be hearing that.
Well, he wasn't 100% sure. He was 1,000% sure.
I'm 1,000% sure your niece is lying about this. I will say, though.
Your niece is deliberately slandering the good game of cricket, Robert. That's what we'd like to hear.
Maybe we could investigate. If you could send the details, Robert.
I would 100% encourage that.
Of the game,
yeah.
Then I'll look it up on My Cricket and see, you know, what happened. But
we will contact the club if necessary.
In saying that, I commentated on some women's regional cricket, and no one told me that there was more than 11 allowed to play. So I was looking at, and this batter came out. And I was like, she's not even in the team, and they were like, oh no, she's the, like the 13th player who's batting.
So is so it maybe possible? This is some it possible that you are wrong?
No, he's not.
He's not wrong.
No,
he's right.
It's wrong. Why that this didn't happen?
No, it didn't happen.
Can't happen. No.
Can't happen. So,
but perhaps they were playing. I don't know. A revised.
No. Robert's niece is wrong.
Robert, I'm with your niece.
Wrong. I'd like. Thanks for subscribing, Robert. But she is wrong.
Robert, I am of the open mind in this room that perhaps they were playing some sort of variation, or they changed the rules for some sort of reason. I don't know. Okay. Maybe she wasn't. You know what I think has happened here. Was she watching Sydney grade cricket?
But
she might have been watching another. She
Bora.
Might, yeah, I don't know. Was but, she? But, no, but she might
Robert's
have been
Robert's asking if this could happen in Test cricket. Robert knows this couldn't happen
no,
in Test
cricket. No, it can't happen in
He's
Test.
He's a very intelligent man. It can't happen man. In Test He cricket. Knows this is a farcical question.
Maybe what happened was that if I caught someone and I realised that the non-striker was also out of their crease, I'd probably break the bails as a bit of a joke.
Yeah, or you just you reflex as you might.
But
do
they
it.
Didn't both walk off, no. unless it was the last wicket of the match of the innings, and they both walked off anyway. But
and so she thought they were both out.
Yeah.
I just want to know, was she watching a Sydney grade cricket final? Maybe that'll open up more possibilities for us.
Robert,
maybe she was watching something else.
Get your niece to get
else.
In touch, and I'll run through the rules with her.
I just won't hear her slandered.
She's okay. Next question. This is from Nicholas Riggle.
Mm-hmm.
If you and
cool
Paul
name.
Were in Jason Gillespie's shoes, sorry, Jaleesa, and were looking to strengthen
I'll sit this one out.
to strengthen the Redbacks with players from other states or overseas, which players would you be looking at that are realistic targets? South Australia didn't win a game all season. They have to now look at bringing in players from other states to strengthen their system. They've let go sort of five of their more experienced contracted players. Paul, do you have any suggestions?
Of course I do. This is the longest I've gone in a podcast for several weeks without talking about my great hero, Oliver Davies.
Oh.
Oliver Davies is the...
God, so I see the Davies family is still paying you.
They should definitely...
Deep pockets.
Could say, because given he hasn't played a game for New South Wales and he's got probably no prospect of playing a Shield game next year, if he goes to South Australia, then realistically he would be fighting for a spot in their 11 straight away. And he's a bloody good player. So that's the first one.
I've got five suggestions, though, that I think could be signed.
Oh, by the way, Glenn Maxwell, yeah, of course. That would be a great suggestion as well. But it's
you'd get a game there. Good batting wicket.
Except he won't be playing because he's going to be playing for the white ball team.
I would think about Liam Hatcher and Harry Conway, two New South Wales quicks that aren't playing enough.
Yep.
I think they'd be great getting sort of a long run at it. And then Tanvir Sanger, the young Thunder leggy.
All three of the ones I thought as
well. He's behind Lyon. He's behind Zampa. Get him to South Australia. It's actually not a bad place to bowl. Pope's struggling over there, the Pope-mobile. So I'd get a Sanger over there. Josh Felipe and Darcy Short from Western Australia.
Good call.
Top order players, aggressive. They're not playing regular Shield cricket. Western Australia have got a lot of players that are sort of in and around that squad but not playing. So they're just five that I've sort of picked up.
Good, I agree with them. And I got one more for you.
Who?
You like this one. Adam Zampa.
He just left there and came back to New South Wales.
That was the joke. Thank you.
I actually thought about that as well and thought, not going to put in there. All right, that's the listener mail and viewer mail. We are going to now get on to Can't Let It Go. We're running out of time.
Where are we going to be?
I'm running out of time. I'm just fucking bored.
I've got nothing on. You can leave. I'll keep going.
Okay, great. So tell me about... No. So just before we get into Can't Let It Go, you can remember to find us on Twitter and Instagram at Oz Cricket Pod. Our new YouTube channel is up and running, Cricket Unfiltered. It's really exceeding our expectations from the last channel. And we're on TikTok, Cricket Unfiltered. Paul's been doing some great...
I didn't know we had an old channel.
It's a long story.
It's a saga.
But basically, really? Paul couldn't post to it, so we had to delete it, which wasn't a bad thing.
What, did he get banned?
No.
Been there, Paul.
I bet you have. But he just couldn't post for some reason. So anyway, head to our YouTube channel. We'll be putting clips up there all through the year. And now let's get into Can't Let It Go. A little bit of cricket news you just can't let go through to the keeper. Jaleesa, do you like to open the batting for this one?
Well, I had three, but now I'm down to two because we already talked about South African cricket. Okay, so the first one is this I can't let go because it combines my two passions. Washington Sundar got a dog.
Oh, and called it Gabba.
Called it Gabba. You've ruined my line.
What are you talking about?
You just stole my thunder. Called it Gabba. Not my God. The cutest dog in the world. It's like this little cavoodle looking thing. And I just thought that was, first of all, a very cute name for a dog. But how nice it, you know, that's how he's.
Massive troll job on the Aussies too.
That's how he's, yeah, commemorating his debut in Australia with that, you know, match winning knock. Or, well, contributing to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when then, I meet him, if I ever meet him and I get introduced to his dog, I'm going to say, oh, is your dog Brisbane Cricket Ground? That's his formal title.
Great joke.
It was a good joke. I had an audience of one.
Woolen Gabba. Woolen Gabba.
No. That's the nickname. The proper name is Brisbane Cricket Ground.
Woolen Gabba is a suburb it's in.
Really?
What? Oh, really? Oh, is that why they call it Gabba?
I'm going to say.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to meet the dog and I'm going to say, Gabba. Oh, hello, this is your dog, the Olympic venue.
Yeah.
Okay, and the other thing that I can't let go, have you guys ever wanted to be a high-level cricket coach? The answer's yes.
Maybe.
Yes, it's all I've ever wanted.
Yes, Paul, love that energy. Well, I was on Seek not because I was looking for a new job already, love Channel 10. I was on Seek because I just love to peruse jobs that, first of all, I'm never qualified for. Second of all, that
things have gone bad at 10.
No, that I'm not qualified for, that I would never want to do, or, you know, I just look at the most weird jobs in the world just to see what other people are doing. Stumbled across Melbourne Renegades. BBL head coach.
Wow.
It's advertised on Seek.
That's awesome.
And isn't also, there something they also, have to advertise?
Also,
it?
No. Also, Melbourne Renegades WBBL head coach also advertised on Seek. No, they don't have to advertise it.
I might apply.
We should apply and just say, we're not relegating though. We're going to do it from Sydney.
Should we just apply
as a laugh?
Well, there was this podcast in America that did this thing and they wrote a book about it where they sort of convinced a minor league baseball team to let them manage it. They were big into analytics and they said, we're just going to manage the team based on analytics. And this team let them do it.
Yeah, we could get Paul to do that.
Absolutely.
I could put a proposal together. I could do their media.
I could be their pump up before the game.
We could create a persona like where, you know, someone from South Africa, we played 27 List A games for Bloemfontein or something, and then just sort of create some false thing and then...
Who doesn't lie on a resume?
I'm not going to... I think we back ourselves, Paul. I think we go in as a trio.
Triumvirate.
As a trio, we go in and we go, these are our skills, hire us.
Yep, I was maybe a level one or two cricket coach at one stage.
Bullshit.
I was.
Now we are just blatantly lying.
I was a cricket coach in my early 20s.
Okay.
All right, fair enough. Same. Don't believe me.
I was too, babe.
Okay. Well, I was.
Sure, hon.
Okay.
All right.
So I'm qualified. All right, Paul, well, that's a really good can't let it go. They certainly need a good coach because did not go well with Michael Klinger.
If you look up my Twitter, Paul Dennett_, I retweeted something that Lancashire Cricket tweeted out. It was Matt Parkinson, a leg spinner from there, who bowled a ball eerily similar to Warnie's ball of the century. It didn't quite drift in as much, but it certainly spun and bit and turned and hit the top of off stump. He's got a pretty good record. He's got 68 wickets at 24.3. I must confess I'd never heard of him, but he must be someone who's not out of the thoughts of the England selectors. But what I'm interested in is that Warnie tweeted out, sort of in sort of a celebration of it, wow, was that the first ball of the summer too? Love it. Congrats, mate, and well bowled spin to win. Referring to the fact that in his mind, his ball in 1993 that he got gutting at was the first ball of the season. It was the first ball of the first test match, but it was actually, it wasn't the first ball of the season. It wasn't for Parkinson either. It was his 119th ball of the summer. That was Warne's 751st ball of the summer. Warne has airbrushed 750 balls out of his own mind.
But famously, Alan Border said to Warne before that test match in the county games, hold back everything, save all the surprises.
Well, he bowled medium pace, did he?
No, but he just rolled a few leggies out.
Yeah.
You know what?
If Warne wants to rewrite history,
we are not paying out Warne while Jalees is here.
I'm not paying him out. I'm just saying, don't forget the first 750 balls you bowled.
Sometimes when this happens, I feel like we should reply to him because I want to.
I can't. I'm blocked.
Oh, you're blocked.
It would be great.
If someone could unblock me.
Am I blocked by Warne? No, I'm not blocked.
Okay.
So I'll tweet him.
All right, good.
I'm sure he'll be like, what? Yeah.
My can't let it go is South Australia went through the whole season winless in both competitions. That's the first time it's ever happened, and just a terrible record. But former New South Wales player Ryan Gibson has left here, gone over there. He made 48 in the last game. Paul and I saw him in a BBL game a few years ago. Huge talent. So perhaps there's some, you know, a glimmer of hope on the horizon for South Australia cricket.
Yep, I pick him up and I get rid of them if they don't perform. He was my love, but he's you know, he's all Ollie Davis and Glenn Maxwell these days.
That's it.
And Dan Christian.
Well, that's it for this edition of Cricket Unfiltered.
Dan Christian didn't have a very good.
He's been dropped.
Yeah,
but he did take a really good catch coming on as 12th man to replace Glenn Maxwell because of his exhaustion after scoring all these runs. Match winning catch potentially. I'm sure he'll be back in there. I think Coley likes him.
And so, listeners, next week we are going to do sort of full season review. We're going to look back on the season that started, you know, last sort of September, October. It sort of kicked off with the WBBL and, well, it's April and it's just finished. So next week we're going to reflect on that. Jaleesa, great to see you again. Thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
We've missed you immensely. Looking forward to our date on Friday. Going to be awesome. I've got my new suit out there, so you can get dressed.
I'll be under security.
Okay. And Paul?
4 feet at all times, please.
What was that?
Away.
Okay, 4 feet. Manners distancing.
Yeah.
And Paul, yeah, have a great week.
Thank you.
And we'll be back next week.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving. At your desk. Maybe at the gym. But you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach. And see a rocket launch. Or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.